following podcast is brought to you by the Communication and Media Studies Department at Dominican University of California. Yo, 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 good morning, gearheads. This is Muscle Mania. I'm your host, DJ Spark. Let's get some wheels spinning and heads turning. Yo, what is going on today, guys? DJ Spark back at it again here with Muscle Mania. Today we're going to be talking about the Dodge Challenger. We've already touched upon Dodge as a company, Mopar and Stellantis in the first episode. So today we're going to be more specific on the specific model of car known as the Dodge Challenger. Let's get started. In 1969, production of the Dodge Challenger began. There are three different generations of Dodge Challenger, specifically known as the first generation, 1970 to 1974, the second generation, 1978 to 1983, and the third generation, 2018 to what we know today, 2022, and now branching into the 2023 model year of Challenger. From 1970 to 1974, the Challenger's first generation was built. The platform known as the Chrysler E-Platform was developed with a hardtop and a convertible-style body that shared components with Dodge's previous car known as the Plymouth Barracuda. We will get into that in future episodes, though. From 1978 to 1983, the second generation was created. This car was engineered more towards a coupe or compact car similar to a Mitsubishi Galant Lambda. This generation of Challenger is sort of controversial as it is differing from the typical muscle car image that many car enthusiasts and potential consumers may have wanted from Dodge, rather than having a compact, differing car body style. The current generation, the third generation of the Dodge Challenger, from 2008 to now 2023, is focused more as a retro style to the original first generation models. Comparing the Challenger today to modern Mustangs and modern Camaros and other various cars, whether that's from Mitsubishi or Toyota or Subaru, the Challenger does the job best by resembling the old characteristics and original body style from the early and mid-70s. Similar to the first episode talking about marketability and outreach to consumers and potential buyers, Dodge takes advantage of utilizing a retro body style for the Challenger in order to poke at and lure in car enthusiasts and even old-time car buyers, due to the fact that it reminds them and brings memories back of what cars used to look like before our modern-day times. Although the Challenger is retro, we'll talk about the Dodge Charger in a future episode that has taken a, let's just say, different approach rather than using a retro style similar to the Challenger. Many of the trims that we see today in the 2008 model to 2023 model, the third generation, use trims and cosmetic packages that date back to the original models. For example, the 392 or the Scat Pack was seen in the mid-70s and late 70s as a Super B. The Scat Pack's logo today is a Rumble Bee, or Super Bee, if you will, which is seen on the 392 badge, or seen on the front grille of Chargers and Challengers. This isn't just a new badge that was created. It is used in the same way that the body style resembles a retro and historical body style from the 1970s. So when people buy the Scat Pack, they both get a nice, loud, fast muscle car, but they also get a blast from the past. When we talk about Dodge Challengers, you'll see the RT badge, a red badge, or sometimes different colors like silver or black, but red is the predominant color. You'll see this on the front of the grille. RT stands for Road and Track. This cosmetic and premium package was seen on the first generations of Challengers. Today, the RT is basically the small V8 base V8 model that you can get. But back in the day, the Dodge Challenger RT was seen as a top-of-the-line, race-ready model that was greatly sought after. Speaking of the Dodge Challenger RT, stands for Road and Track, like I stated before, the original 6.3-liter Magnum V8 was rated at 335 horsepower, but was actually decreased to 300 in 1971 due to a drop in compression. It came in a 3-speed manual and a standard transmission, and the optional RT engines were actually able to be boosted up to 375 horsepower. Back in the day, the Challenger came in a coupe body style with convertible and hardtop style bodies. Today, we do not see stock from the factory Challengers coming with convertible body styles. Although this is subject to change, due to the fact that 2023 is the last model year that Dodge is using for Challengers and Chargers and naturally aspirated and supercharged V8s, as a result of them pushing a more eco-friendly and electric vehicle-based market, there are options for aftermarket convertible body styles, but you have to go through companies other than Dodge in order to achieve this. Let's talk about modern-day body styles of the Challenger. So we have, similar to what I said in the first episode with Dodge, we have the Dodge Challenger GT and SXT, which come with a 306 horsepower Pentastar V6 engine. The RT is next, which is a 5.7-liter Hemi engine that boasts a 370 to 375 horsepower with 370 pound-foot of torque. Next, we have the 6.4-liter Hemi engines that come in the SRT 392s, and we also have the Scat Pack. These boast a 485 horsepower engine with 475 pound-foot of torque. Similar to the Scat Pack, we also have the SRT 8, which came with a 6.4, and also a rare 6.1-liter engine. This rare but sought-after motor, the 6.1 engine, was first introduced in 2005 from Chrysler's 300C SRT8. Its final production year was 2010. This engine boasts 425 horsepower paired with 420 pound-foot of torque. Compression ratio 10.3:1. The Hellcat motor, which we talked about in previous episodes, is also found in the Challenger. 6.2 liters with starting at 707 horsepower, and based on the trims and pulley systems you get attached to the motor, upwards of 803 horsepower, even 807 horsepower. To top that off, the Dodge Demon, which is only found in Challenger body style as of today, which is Dodge's fastest car from the factory, produced 840 horsepower. On top of this high horsepower number, we have 770 pound-foot of torque, which is insane. Now that we have some historical analysis completed on the Challenger and the model years and trims dating all the way back to 1970, let's talk about what it's like to drive a Challenger. Now, coming from somebody who drives a Scat Pack, there are some things that I wasn't exactly prepared for before buying one. One of those things is attention that you receive on the road. It can be fun to have people lay eyes on you or glance at you while driving a nice car, but it isn't always as positive as you'd think. Driving a loud car, whether you mean to drive like an ass or not, can draw negative attention to oneself. On top of that, police and highway patrol are always on the lookout for sports cars, especially if you're driving a vibrant color such as red or yellow, or if you want to put stripes on it. You need to be on the lookout for law enforcement, because whether or not you're breaking the law, you're in their eyesight. Another thing to note, especially in this inflation rising market here in the United States, if you do not like paying for gas, you do not want to drive a Dodge Challenger. Averaging from 15 miles a gallon on the city and highway combined as an average, and that's if you're driving efficiently, you're going to be spending upwards of $100 plus in modern day times just to fill your tank. That is not fun. Aside from some of these negative things, something that's positive about driving a Dodge Challenger is if you truly are a car driving enjoyer or enthusiast or guru, if you will, waking up in the morning and driving your Dodge Challenger to class or to work always seems to put a smile on my face. Even if I'm having a bad day, starting up the car in a cold morning or late at night when I've had a bad day, at least I get to drive something that I enjoy. This next point can be perceived as positive or negative. If you're driving down the road, be prepared to be challenged by everybody. There are so many instances of people trying me. Whether I'm going to the grocery store or I'm going to class, there always seems to be someone on the road trying me. I can't catch a break, and neither will you. And no, I am not kidding. I am not playing around with this one. There have been instances of me simply existing on the road, and I have been flipped off multiple times simply for passing people in the passing lane. It's not fun driving to school and getting the double birdie. All right, enough with the fun and games. Let's talk about the drivability of this car. Sometimes, big, loud cars aren't always the most viable option for all road types. If it's raining outside, you might as well be prepared to get sideways. If you're on a curvy road, you need to slow down, or you're gonna die. There is nothing more exhilarating and scary than driving up or down a country road in the hills, and you're driving this big boat of a car, and you take a turn, and you accidentally press the accelerator too hard. You need to be careful out there. You could fly off of a mountain, and that could be the end. So please be careful. Yes, I know, I've heard it all, but I'm not accepting this one on this case. All of these BMW break my wallet fanboys talking about how they'll gap me because they have a car that can take turns. Well, you're not going to win the race when you're the one in the shop 24/7, so I don't want to hear it. Okay, we're going to save this car guru enthusiast controversy battle for another episode and time. We need to talk about the reliability of this car. Overall, the reliability with my car has been great, to say the least. Other than getting rear-ended on Highway 29, that is something else we will talk about later. Regular oil changes and maintenance to the car every 5,000 miles is great for keeping your car on the road. As long as you take care of the engine bay, clean it, replace coolant, antifreeze, oil, put the right octane fuel, for God's sake. Please do not put something that is not meant to be in your engine. I've seen people put sugar cubes in their engine. I don't know what they were thinking, but please do not do that, or you're gonna die. And no, I'm not exaggerating. Please do not put something into the gasoline tank that's not supposed to be there. Uh-oh, click, click, boom, the engine's vibrating, boom, you're dead. We don't need that around here in Muscle Mania. Please watch out for yourself. Just make sure, like what they say, check yourself before you wreck yourself. Words to live by. Be safe. Have fun. Take care of yourself. I'll see you guys next time here on MuscleMania. It is your host, DJ Spark, and I am rolling out.